The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And we have a couple of singers from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois. They are opening Smokey Joe's Cafe, which is a musical review this week. And then the second part of the show, we have a couple of storytellers with us, Kathy Brinkman and Dan Ketting, who are giving a storytelling concert tomorrow evening in Urbana at La Gourmandise from 6 to 8. And we'll hear at least a couple of tales told in the second half of today's show. Stay tuned for Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
Have no use for other sweets of any kind. Since the day you
kissed, you're my honey, sucrose.
Oh, mercy.
That was a selection from a musical review called Ain't Misbehavin', music by Fats Waller. This was Honeysuckle Rose, sung by the characters of Ken and Nell. And I should have here who actually sung those, but I don't. That was from the original Broadway cast here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, unless those were the actual singers. And there's no, where are the credits on this thing? Not very good disc, unfortunately. We have, as the first half of our show, feature on another musical review of very different composers. The songs of, as it said, Lieber and Stoller, Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. Smokey Joe's Cafe is the name of the review. And there's quite a number of standards of theirs, or at least they're becoming standards, some of them, including some rock and roll, rhythm and blues songs, and more. And John Stevens, who's the artistic director,
executive director,
Traylon Doler is the artistic director at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. John is with us, as he was just a couple weeks ago before, as they were launching Showboat. And they're about to launch this show this week. And with John this time, we do have a couple of singers from the production, Darcy Wright and Marisha Wallace, who were involved in the review. Thank you all for coming up from the middle of your rehearsal period, I guess.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Darcy and Marisha, what kind of have you been rehearsing for a while yet, or just getting going?
We've been rehearsing for about 2 weeks now.
Has it been 2 weeks?
Or well, like 10 days.
A week and a half. Yeah, okay.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah. But while we've been performing Showboat as well.
Well, I was just about going to ask, were you both involved in that show?
I wasn't. I just, I'm coming for Smokey Joe's until the end of the season. But Marisha was in Showboat and also the children's show.
Yeah, so I was doing 3 shows at once. So it's fun.
How do you keep all that in your head?
I don't know. I ask myself that.
It's just because I hire really talented people.
Is that what it is?
I just keep it locked away. I have one side of my brain for one show, and then the middle part is the fuzzy area. Then that's it.
Yeah, I'm amazed that I've said before this show, I'm amazed that people can memorize things in the first place, but much less keeping all those shows in order. Do you ever find yourself in confusing the shows? I mean, when you've done more than one?
No, I feel like your body knows what it's supposed to do. It's muscle memory. So it remembers what you have to do for each different show. And you get kind of in a routine. So, you know, that's your routine for that show. That's your routine for that show. And then you just figure it out. But after you've been doing it for a while, it's easy. So it's cool.
And how long have you been doing it, both of you?
I've been singing since I was 3, but I've been working professionally for about 7 years, so yeah.
All in musical theater?
Mm-hmm. Musical theater, and also just singing on my own. So.
And Darcy?
Yeah.
I've been working professionally since I was about 8. I'm a little older than that now.
A little?
Yeah. I've been working professionally for a while now. Musical theater, straight theater, singing, as well. Mm-hmm. I live in New York, so I sing at different jazz clubs, Iridium Jazz Club, Birdland. There's a really fun place called Splash that I mm-hmm. make a splash at every once in a while.
Mercy, are you also in New York?
No, I'm kind of everywhere. I just got off a cruise ship. I work for Holland America Cruise Line with my own show, and it's just singing show, all singing. So with the band, it's just me and the band, and we just rock out, and it's just been fun. I've been doing that on and off for about 2.5 years as well. So
and mixing it up with some theater.
Yeah, some musical theater, and then a little bit of cabaret stuff, and yeah, just going back and forth. But this is my love right here. I love musical theater. It's really fun.
One of the three of you, gave me an idea of this show. I guess I have heard of Lieber and Stoller, but I didn't realize that they'd written
so many amazing songs.
So many of these songs. I mean, I'm looking at the list, and it's a huge list, and I've heard of an awful lot of them. Mm-hmm. What's the idea behind this show?
Well, the premise that this director, Joey Cullinane, has come up with is kind of a flashback. Kind of mm-hmm. people are going and meeting back at a place that they used to hang out in and remembering their youth and kind of living in the now and in the past as well.
Yeah.
And along the way, they're singing all these amazing songs. There's not any talking in between any of it, but there's some great moments in watching the rehearsals of it, some great moments that the actors have really showing those connections. And it's really strong and evident that they're able to pull that off and use the songs as well.
You said there is not talking in the
There's show. No talking in
no.
it.
No.
It's just songs.
Just singing, acting through song.
So no plot, no connection other than from one song to the next.
Well, each song, we've created a story without words but through song and the lyrics. So the lyrics in the songs are the dialogue for the show. So you have to really pay attention to the lyrics and figure out and through the acting and see there's three relationships going on. There's a love triangle going on. There's breakups, getting back together, all in one show. But it's just through all these great songs, which bring back so many memories for people who lived these songs. These were like the pop songs during their time. So the people are really going to enjoy it and be taken back to some good times in their life or even some bad times. But, you know, that's how music is. It kind of colors your life, so...
You said there this vision of this particular director. Does that suggest that Smokey Joe's Cafe as a show on its own doesn't necessarily follow that?
Yeah, we've made some changes to it. Cut out some of the fat from it and really honed it into being just a really strong show, full of the things that really show off Lieber and Stroller's stuff the best, I think.
Well, it you know, it can't have been that bad a show.
No, it was not a bad show.
It does seem to have won some Tony Awards.
Yes.
No, it's a great show. But it's helping further the plot, I think, is what
you're saying. It gives it a little
bit
more meat and substance that I think the audience will really be able to take away from it other than just the music of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is some of that done by rearranging the songs?
We did do a little bit of rearranging and a little cutting here and there and shorten the show pretty substantially, actually.
Yeah.
It's about an hour and a half show now, where it was well over like a 2-hour and 20-minute show on Broadway. But you still get everything in there that you're going to want to hear.
Well, speaking of what we want to hear, you each brought a song. So why don't we hear the first of them, whichever it's going to be.
All right.
Marcia's going to go first with Fools Fall in Love.
And we don't have a live accompanist here, but she is live somewhere.
Yes. Joshua Zecker Ross, our musical director, recorded stuff last night.
Okay.
And it sounds great. So thanks to Josh.
Marisha Wallace and somebody at the player piano by the recording.
Yes.
Via CD. From Smokey Joe's Cafe, the production at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan here on Live and Local.
Fall in love in a hurry. Fools give their hearts much too soon. Just play them two bars of stardust. Just hang out what silly moon. They got their love torches when they should be playing it cool. I used to laugh, but now I understand. Shake a hand of a brand new fool. Fools fall in love just like schoolgirls, blinded by rose-colored dreams. They build their castles on wishes with only rainbows for beams. Oh, oh, they're making plans for the future when they should be back in school. I used to laugh, but now I understand. Shake a hand of a brand new fool. Oh, shake a hand of a brand new fool. Oh, shake a hand of a brand new fool.
Marisha Wallace here on Live and Local, Fools Fall in Love. Is that Lieberstoller wrote songs for shows or for lots of different things?
For pop, pop hits, pop culture. You know, there's a lot of songs, 50s, 60s that people like Elvis Presley recorded a lot.
I'm looking
of
at Jailhouse Rock is one of them.
And then
Hound Dog was
yes,
his also.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize that.
Hound Dog, Treat Me Nice, yeah, by Elvis. Yeah.
But were any of the shows? Were any of the songs from shows, or were they all just?
They
pop
were
hits?
All pop hits.
Mm-hmm.
And Marisha, what's your kind of character in this production?
I guess I fall in love right at the beginning of the show, and I feel like my character never really believed in love. She thought it was like, oh, you know, these kids, they always fall in love these days. But then I find someone that I really like, and then I turn into the fool that's in love. And this song that I just sang also is reprised in the second act, and it's more of a ballad and more of reflecting back on how my relationship with this guy and the other relationships in the show. So we've kind of turned it all around, and I'm kind of the mother figure in it as well, because I watch people fall in love and see their mistakes while also making mistakes myself. So that's my character.
So do you do the ballad version of the song also?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you get to express it, both emotional qualities of it. And I guess all of these songs have been treated so many different ways by so many different people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although, how many treatments can you do of a Hound Dog at once?
Oh, this is a totally different treatment of
it. Is
it
really?
Yeah. The Elvis Presley version of it.
Yeah, this is the Mama Thornton version of the song.
But you don't turn it into a ballad, I'll bet you.
No.
No, it's very... What would you say?
Pointed?
Yeah, very pointed. Yes, that's very good.
The frustration is definitely in there.
I'm looking at some of the other songs from this show. Yakety Yak was their song.
That's one of their songs,
such a bizarre song, I always thought. let's see. Dance With Me is a wonderful song.
Yeah, on Broadway's in there.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful song. Some of these others I don't necessarily recognize the name, but I bet I recognize the song. A Little Egypt is one. In any event, wow, I didn't know they wrote some of these songs.
And Stand By Me they wrote.
By Benny King, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's theirs too.
Yeah, that closes the show and really brings everything together. I don't want to give everything away, but it was beautiful to watch in the run that I watched yesterday of it.
How many are involved in the show?
Nine.
Nine singers.
And they're on stage every minute of the show, which is really hard. But they do a great job of keeping it together and not breaking the barriers of the fourth wall there to do anything different.
Choreography?
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot of choreography.
Joey Cullinane, the director, he choreographed as well. So,
Marisha, you were in Showboat. Who was your character in there?
I was in the ensemble of Showboat, so just a part of the chorus, the black chorus, because there was a white ensemble as well as a black ensemble, so I was part of that.
But you were amazing nun in Showboat, too.
I was a nun, and I had one line, so that was cool.
a nun. I'm trying to remember, where does the nun show up in the show book?
Oh, when they
go to the convent.
They go to the convent and too. He leaves, Ravenel leaves, and he is telling little young Kim goodbye.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's Kim who's left. Mm-hmm. So you showed up for about a minute.
Yes. Yeah. Blessed occasion.
Nice. And Darcy, you're going to be in some of the other shows this summer.
Yes. The next show is Spelling Bee. I am Olive in Spelling Bee.
That's the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, somebody else, do I have my calendar right here? Somebody else is doing that right now. I didn't bring my calendar in with me. Well, we'll try to make mention of that as when we get to the second part of Live and Local here. We're going to have some storytelling. They're giving a storytelling concert, Kathy Brinkman and Dan Ketting, tomorrow night. And your show opens, this show, Smokey Joe's Cafe, opens when?
Wednesday, 2 p.m. with our matinee, which is very, very full for the matinee. And we run through July 4th. We do have a 2 o'clock show on July 4th, so before you go to the fireworks, come and check out the show. It'll get you rocking and rolling, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It was a really great feeling to watch the run of the show yesterday and just feel so uplifted as I left the run, which doesn't always happen in a rehearsal, but it was really fun.
So, Darcy, how did you get found for this show? Have you done shows at the Little Theater before?
No, I haven't worked here. I haven't been lucky enough to work here until now. I happen to have worked with the artistic director before, so I was asked to come and work here. I've worked with him a few times, Trey Landoler.
On what shows or in what capacity?
Well, I have done 42nd Street with him, My Way, which is a Frank Sinatra review. I've done that with him. A Chorus Line. A bunch of shows, actually. So we've worked with each other a lot. We work well together. So I was really excited to be here for his first year as artistic director. So.
He started about a year ago.
He started in December.
Oh, just in this past December. Because I remember we had the conversation when he was up here, and I'd forgotten how not so long it had been, I guess. Yeah, finishing up the first year, I guess. About halfway through it.
And it also helps a little bit, not that she needed the help by any means at all, but Darcy's Traylon's sister. So.
Oh, really?
We grew up together as well. So.
You were just going to hide that fact?
He didn't tell me for the longest
time.
Here's
the thing. I figured it would come out, all right?
She's giving me the look like, do I say it or not? He didn't tell me for the longest time. He's like, I want to hire this Darcy girl, and he played me her video. I'm like, yes, please. Please hire her. And then he's like, yeah, she's kind of my sister. And I'm like, oh, that's even better.
Kind of?
Kind of. No.
Actually
yes.
Are.
Yes. Yeah. We are actually related.
Oh, well, that's so sweet.
Yes.
And Marisha worked last summer with us as well.
Yes, I was here last summer.
We were in Whorehouse together.
Yes, we did. Yes, we were in Whorehouse. And Traylon also directed that one last summer, so I worked with Traylon last year. So
what else did you did?
Well, actually, let's clarify. For those who aren't up on musicals,
the way best you little whorehouse in Texas.
That's right. Yeah. It was a show.
It was a show.
It wasn't just a whorehouse we set up.
They are not running illicit operations down there.
Although it may be a great fundraising plea,
I don't think we want to go very far down this road. At least I'd rather not.
Yes.
Darcy, what are you going to do for us?
Oh, I'm going to do a song called Falling.
And we just had Falling and
Fools
Fall in Love. And this one is Falling. And who made this song famous initially?
We were trying to figure that out earlier, and we weren't sure.
Yeah, I'm going to need to find out before Wednesday.
I'll Google it while she's singing.
You shouldn't be able to because you should have turned your phone off.
I did turn it off. It doesn't ring, but I may be able to get my internet.
Uh-huh.
We'll see.
If you make our microphones go dit-dit-dit-dit-dit-dit, somebody won't be happy. Darcy.
Getting a look from the sound guy.
Yeah, the sound guy saying, don't you dare. Shut that thing off. Darcy Wright with, who's our pianist again?
Joshua Zekaros.
And this is from Smokey Joe's Cafe, Songs of Lieber and Stoller. At the Little Theater and Square in Sullivan on Live and Local.
tremble when I'm by your side, and I look a little starry-eyed. Darling, do you get the message? I'm falling, falling in love with you. If I try too hard to come on cool, and I come off looking like a fool, darling, do you get the message? I'm falling, falling in love with you. If I don't quite know just what to say, and I'm acting in a foolish way, that's the way it is with silly Valentines. You've got to learn to read between the lines. Though I keep my feelings locked in place, I love you is written on my face. Darling, do you get the message? I'm falling, falling in love with you. Falling in love with you. Falling in love with you.
I don't actually think I recognize that song. I mean, there's a lot of songs on the list of Lieber and Stoller that I don't recognize, but then, you know, I'm not always been the biggest pop listener.
I can't imagine that.
Darcy Wright here from the Little Theater's production of Smokey Joe's Cafe opens on Wednesday for two shows, 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and runs through the 4th of July with a matinee that day as well, lots of shows in between. Some of them just one show a day, some of them two shows a day. And for more information on this show, on the Little Theater, and on the shows coming up this summer, you can go to their website, which is thelittletheater.org. You actually put the in there, thelittletheater.org. And John, what remind us, because I don't have it written here, even though I just directed people to the site, after Smokey Joe's, you've got a couple of shows yet for the summer?
Yeah, we've got the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee that runs right after that.
Then which Darcy's going to be in.
Yes. And
Marisha also?
She's not in that one, but no. They're both in Annie, which is after that. And then they are both in Hair at the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm. So excited for Hair.
I know, so excited.
And I can actually announce something really quick about Hair?
Sure.
We are doing a special performance in the park of it in Decatur at Nelson Park on the 9th, I think, which is either the 8th or the 9th of August, which is whatever that Sunday night is. So we're really excited to take it out into kind of how they did it in New York with the revival of it this time out in the park.
And I don't know what you're going to do on the stage version, but I'll bet you they're not going to let you get naked in the park version.
In the park version, we're not going to, but on stage.
Oh, I signed a waiver. Yeah, I signed it.
She did sign that waiver. On stage, we will for the evening performances, not the matinee, which I have some very upset patrons that they are not getting naked for the matinee performance because they've said that they pay the exact same price as everyone else.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Really?
I've gotten quite a few emails and letters and phone calls.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, they'll just have to buy a second ticket then, won't they?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, nobody's naked on this show today.
No. Unfortunately.
Although, for all you know, we could be.
I know. That's the thing.
Sounds like our sound engineer is making some sort of fits out there.
We have turned the show around today.
Can I make a quick shout out real quick? It's my mother's birthday, and I just want to tell her.
Is it really?
Yes. Aww. Her name's Rochelle Wallace. She lives in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and it's her birthday today. So I just want to tell her happy birthday.
Well, she can actually eventually listen to your shout out because we'll have it up on our website a little later.
Nice.
And our web address, by the way, is will.illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L.illinois.edu. And we do put up all of our live and local shows. They're often missing some of the non-live performed music just because of copyright considerations, the performance rights considerations for streaming on the web that we haven't worked out yet. But all of this live show will be on there. So your mom can hear it. Happy birthday to her.
Oh, thank you.
Darcy Wright and Marisha Wallace and John Stevens from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Smokey Joe's Cafe opens on Wednesday. And coming up, we have Dan Ketting and Kathy Brinkman to tell us some stories in advance of their storytelling concert in Urbana tomorrow night. Support for our show today comes in part from Rodney G. Peacock presenting Noontide Festival Month, June 18th through July 11th at Follinger Auditorium with music, poetry, and drama, highlighted by a concert by Rodney George Peacock and with his original drama, The Noontide Trilogy, July 2nd through 11th. Information is under events at follinger.illinois.edu. We also have support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karistan Broadloom and Rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. And we're going to transition our way over to a different studio for telling some stories, more from Ain't Misbehavin', and I figured out why I couldn't properly identify these singers before. They are, in fact, the singing actors who aren't playing any particular character. We heard Ken Page and Nell Carter in our earlier song, and we're going out with... Well, I'll back announce it because I've actually forgotten which track I told Mike to play. So, Mike Pritchard, play that CD here on Live and Local. And those were a couple of more tunes from Ain't Misbehavin', the musical review of Fats Waller songs. Well, songs that Fats Waller sang, anyway. We had the entract from the show, and then Spreadin' Rhythm Around, music by Jimmy McHugh and lyric by Ted Kohler. Additional lyric by Richard Maltby Jr., and we heard the company from that show and heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. My next guests are Dan Ketting and Kathy Brinkman, who are going to be giving a storytelling concert tomorrow evening from 6 to 8 at La Gourmandise in downtown Urbana. It's quite a nice restaurant, I must say. I've been there many times. I have German food and other things for dinner, and nice breakfasts and brunches and sandwiches for lunches and so on. And they do host occasional music and... storytelling. Thank you both for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you, Kevin.
And you've done things there before, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, we have a regular series. It's called the Main Street Tellers Series Concert. And once a month, there is a storyteller that comes and does a program, does a concert.
Always at La Gourmandise or at different places?
No, at La Gourmandise.
And you're both members of, I guess, is it called the
The Champaign-Urbana Storytelling Guild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many folks are involved in that?
Oh, it kind of varies, but usually 20 to 25 people that are actively involved. We have some storytellers that are professional storytellers, and then we have some that are practicing to be storytellers, or some that just like to come and share personal tales and learn to become better storytellers.
And there are national storytelling organizations that I know, Dan, you're involved with. I don't know, Kathy, if you are or not. What links all of you together?
Well, the National Storytelling Network is the main national organization. It's a membership-driven organization, and its headquarters are in Jonesboro, Tennessee, which is also the headquarters of the International Storytelling Center that puts on the National Storytelling Festival every year. So two different organizations, but they're both in Jonesboro. And So the NSN is basically, they run the national conference. They have a magazine comes out four times a year. So they're more of a member-driven organization. Where the International Storytelling Center, their main focus is the big festival. And it is one of the biggest festivals for storytelling in the world. Usually between 10 to 12,000 people come to this little town in East Tennessee.
Wow.
Jonesboro, Tennessee. And it's very well attended. Mm-hmm. It's always the first week in October. And it's great fun because you see the cream of the crop.
And you both go to that?
Mm-hmm. Dan's always, well, he's often a featured teller.
Yeah, well, I was going to just get to that, I guess. You've won some things now and then.
Some of my books and recordings have won awards, American Library Association, Notable Recording for Children, the Ann Izzard Storytelling Award for one of my books. So a lot of my things have won those kind of awards, and I was inducted into the Circle of Excellence, the Storytelling Hall of Fame, 10 years ago. I perform at the National Festival fairly regularly, about every 2-3 years. I'm there in some capacity, either as a feature teller or as a featured ghost storyteller, one of the two.
Is ghost stories a specialty?
Oh, yes, for me it is. I love ghost stories. And it's great there because it's outside, and you're in a gazebo, and you're surrounded by this park, and there's about 3,000 people in the dark listening to ghost stories. It's great fun.
And I'm guessing you'll be doing some around Halloween around here?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll be doing some
Kathy,
ghost stories.
Do you do ghost stories as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Last year we did a concert at Spurlock Museum, and they will be doing it once again on October 30th at Spurlock. And this will feature some of the students at U of I from the Graduate School of Library and Information Sciences. So this is an opportunity for people not only to hear some good spooky stories, but also for the students to practice some of their storytelling skills.
How many people at the Graduate School of Library and Information Science get into storytelling? It seems like a not unrelated activity, but I wouldn't have thought of that anyway.
Oh, no. I teach the on-campus course at GISLIS, and I usually have about 15 to 20 students each semester who take my course, and they love to tell stories.
It's a course on storytelling.
It's on storytelling. Mm-hmm. Well, many of these students are going to go into library services. They're going to be working with kids, with teens, with adults. Storytelling is a perfect venue for them to learn how to communicate and also to set up programs. So it's a great way for them to really understand the full spectrum of what can happen in a library.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but I guess you do have to learn things like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. If you're going to be, there are certain aspects of, you know, stereotypes of librarians. You think, well, you just work with books, but if you work at a library, there's a lot of things that go on in the library.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing all the things that librarians have to do.
Programming for, community-related events and getting to know your community and having storytellers on. Kim Sheehan was on. She did the ghost story thing with you last year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
And she came on and told a tale or two as well. And since we promised a tale or two on today's show, we should get right to it. Which of you would like to start?
Okay, I'll start first.
Okay, I'm going to set up the microphones a little bit. Does this require a setup or no setup required?
No, I'm just going to jump right in.
Jump right in. Kathy Brinkman here on Live and Local.
Okay. Little Mouse should have been studying, but all he could think about were those delicious golden kernels of corn in the center of the barn floor. Now, he knew that there was a cat somewhere lurking about in the barn, but his stomach was growling, and he thought, you know, I would study so much better with a full stomach. And that old cat, he's probably asleep anyway. So he started out, and he got within a foot of those kernels of corn when the cat, who had been sleeping, opened one eye, and then the other, and within two leaps was upon Little Mouse. About the same time, Mama Mouse came to check on her son, and when she saw what was going on, somehow with a mighty leap she jumped and she landed on the cat's head, and then in her biggest mouse voice she went, "Bow, wow, 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 wow." The cat screeched to a halt, and Mama Mouse fell off the cat's head. The cat beelined out the barn door. Mama Mouse said, "And that, my son, is the value of studying a foreign language."
I wasn't anticipating that one. Well, that's so. Do you have to have a repertoire of really short stories like that?
I think it's really helpful, and I think it depends partly on your style as well. I tend to like short stories. They're easy to remember, and I also like stories that have a twist at the end because I think they're entertaining. So I think part of it depends on what you like to do, what you're good at, and your style of telling.
Is that kind of the equivalent, I wonder, of one-liners in stand-up comedy?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Just kind of some snappy, yeah.
Because you've got to have an awful lot of them to make up a show
well,
if you're going to do a show of those.
And that's a very good observation. And I think what you'd need to do when you're constructing a program is to have some short stories, but you usually start out with something short and funny to kind of engage your audience, and then you can go into longer tales, but then you always end, or at least I usually end, with something shorter to bring the audience back, and usually something funny to kind of land them back in full circle.
And you do encore stories?
You know, I don't, yeah, I guess I have done one encore story, but it usually is a short one when I do it.
So. Well, just like an encore in a concert, you know, a music concert is usually a shorter piece, although there's a famous story. Who was it? Actually, maybe it's a concert that I attended. Ken Kiesler, who used to direct the Illinois Symphony in Springfield, as a planned encore for his final concert at the Illinois Symphony. I think his encore was the final movement of Gustav Mahler's Third Symphony, which is a half hour long.
Well, there's the encore.
If I'm remembering things right. So I don't know if the audience, I don't remember that it was a pre-announced encore, but it was quite a performance, as I recall.
I always think of the short story as a gift to the audience, because when you do a 15, 20-minute, half-hour story, no one's going to remember that in order to take it home and tell their family, tell their friends. But if you tell them a nice one- or two-, three-minute story, they'll remember that, even if they don't remember it word for word. They'll put it in their own words. And they'll be able to take that with them and spread it around. And so it's almost like a gift to the audience when you tell them a little story.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to ask you a question that I asked some of our singers earlier in the show from Smokey Joe's Cafe. One of them was talking about being involved in three productions at the same time. One's in rehearsal, one she just finished, I guess, and one is about to start or something. And, you know, I'm amazed that you can keep three shows going. Although maybe it shouldn't be all that amazing because, you know, if you're doing, you know, a lot of conductors memorize their scores and, of course, they've got to have those. But do you have mnemonic devices for avoiding mixing up some of the stories? Because I imagine there's going to be themes that cross over and maybe even characters that cross over. And do you ever find yourself suddenly telling a different story than the one you started to tell?
Yes. I just did it at the Champaign Public Library the other day. I was expecting a slightly older audience, and during my introducing the first story, I was saying, now I'm going to start with an American Jack tale. It was supposed to be kind of spooky, but I looked out, and instead of 6, 7, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, I had quite a few 2, 3, and 4-year-olds in the audience, and I thought, oh my, I've got to start out much simpler. So I told the Jack tale, but I didn't tell the one I was going to tell. I just slipped into a different one, and then from there built the program up. So it got kind of scary towards the end. But you have to be able to read your audience. You have to stand in front of the audience, and you have to. A storyteller really shouldn't have a big ego, because you're going to have to say to yourself, okay, I wanted to do this story. I've worked on this story for weeks now to do at this concert. And then you look at that audience and you go, it's not right for them. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work for this audience. They're too old. They're too young. They're not responding to laughter. They're more thoughtful, or they want laughter. You know, they don't want anything thoughtful. So you have to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to scrap what I had planned and I'm going to do this instead. So you really have to read your audience well.
But in that case, it was intentional. It's not a matter of, you know, forgetting where you
were. Oh, well,
I
have forgotten that, too. I've introduced stories, and then by the end of my introduction, I forgot what story I was going to tell and told something different that didn't make any sense in regard to the introduction. You know, and at first, the audience is kind of looking at you like, what did the introduction have to do with the story? But if you just bull ahead with it, you can probably get them to forget that your introduction was totally meaningless.
Well, if you tell a great story, then they're going to get absorbed in that, no matter what you started out talking about.
Nail the ending, and everyone will forgive the mistakes before that.
That's what they say in all kinds of performance.
One of the nightmares of a storyteller is you get in the middle of the story and you forget the next part, and that can be real problem. So pneumatic, or the devices you were talking about before, you know, when often in stories they'll have repetitions of three, and you know there can be key words in there that you can that help you remember what is the next part of the story. So sometimes that, or rhymes, they'll have a repeat of a couple sentences in within the story, you know, and so he took the grain to the, you know, farmer and took the farmer took the grain to, but it's a kind of a repeat and it's sing-songy within the story, and that helps you get through it, especially if it's a long story. So, but yeah, that's mm-hmm. That can be a storyteller's nightmare, to just forget the middle part or forget a couple pieces in the story. Or if you are telling the story and realize you forgot a part that needed to be in place before, you can go back and kind of said, oh, but what I forgot to tell you was, you know, blah, 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 this happened. So
otherwise you'll get to the end and like,
it won't make sense. Yeah. So then you're in trouble. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dan, it's your turn.
Okay. I'll tell you a story from what we, in the storytelling world, the genre of personal stories. When I was in second grade, my best friend was Davey, and we both were living there on the south side of Chicago. My friend was a wonderful guy, and he was the best friend because anything I wanted to try, he went along with. That's why his parents hated me. I was always getting Davey in trouble. The worst ever was that summer between second and third grade. And we're about three blocks from our house, and there was a viaduct. And up that steep embankment, there was a train just sitting there. And I turned to Davey and said, this is our chance. I've always wanted to see the inside of a boxcar. And Davey, because he was my best friend, said, okay, let's go. And we climbed up that embankment, rocks getting underneath our nails and just having a terrible time. We got up to that train, climbed into that boxcar and looked around, and it was empty. It was really disappointing. And all the words on the wall, we couldn't understand most of them that had been spray painted. And we were just about to get out when the train started moving. Now, we were too little to jump out because we'd probably break our necks down that steep embankment. And you could tell the difference in Davy's family and mine, because the minute we started moving, Davey burst into tears, crying how he'd never see his mom and dad again, never see his brothers and sisters again. And me, I was jumping up and down, screaming, this is going to be so much fun. We got out of Chicago, and we started seeing farms. Now, two city kids from the south side, farms were really exotic. And I started pointing to cows. Look at Davey. It's a cow. That is a real cow. And Davey stopped crying and looked at the cows. And then we saw some horses. And we saw a farmer up there with a tractor. And it was really great fun. And they caught us in Kankakee. The railroad police found us. Later found out they were called the Bulls. And they took us to the Kankakee police station. And they turned us over to the Kankakee police. Now, the Kankakee police couldn't understand a word we were saying because of our south side of Chicago accents. But slowly but surely, we kind of understood each other. And they started feeding us because they didn't know what else to do with us. Here we were, two second graders. And they started giving us hamburgers and hot dogs and pizza and anything you could think of, ice cream. We called Davey's dad because my family didn't have a car at the time. And about 2 or 3 hours later, Davey's dad pulled into the station, signed all the papers. Turned out we weren't felons. We weren't going to go to prison. And we got into the car. And all three of us sat in the front seat of that big old Buick he had. And as we were driving back to Chicago, Davey's dad looked at me and looked at Davey and said, you know, boy, sometimes you do something and no one gets hurt. And nothing's broken and nothing's stolen. And no laws are really broken. They might be bent a bit, but they're not broken. And this is one of those times, so there's no reason we should tell your mothers. And so we didn't. But when my mother turned 80, I told her the story. Now here's my 80-year-old mother, and she looks at me and she starts screaming, you could have been killed! So I always tell children, when you have that kind of secret, you know, where no one's hurt, No laws have been broken, and just maybe bent a little. And you decide not to tell your mother? Never tell her. Ever. Because you'll always be a kid to her, and she'll always be your mom. That's the story of the train ride.
And do personal stories have to necessarily be true?
Most of the time, if they're not true, they're at least rooted in truth. And that one's about 90% true.
And can you tell us the parts that aren't?
The parts that aren't? Well, the police treated us really well. They didn't overfeed us, like I say in the story. And but neither of the mothers did find out. And Davy was, he cried a little bit, but not as much as I say in the story. But I was joyous. I just thought the greatest thing since sliced bread was being on a moving train, you know. But he was, we had a good time. He actually moved. About a year later, Davy's family moved down to central Illinois, and I'll never forget it because, you know, growing up in the South Side, Chicago's the center of the universe. And I said, where are you moving to? And it was Decatur, and he says, oh, I'm moving to Decatur. And I said, Decatur? Where's Decatur? And Davy goes, it's somewhere in Illinois. And we kind of looked at each other like, that's a foreign country, you know? It's like Paris, France, and Decatur, Illinois, just foreign. But later on when I got older, I thought how funny it was that as little kids, we just thought that Chicago was the epicenter of everything. And then later on we realized, well, it's just one city, and it's not all that great most of the time.
So what kind of response do you get to that story? I mean, I assume you tell that mostly to kids.
Actually, that's a story that adults like because it reminds them of the things they did as children. So that's the kind of story that works both ways.
Well, and they could get the harebrained idea, like you apparently did, to tell their 82-year-old mother something.
That's right. And I always wonder,
held in for all this time.
Never do that. There are things my mother still doesn't know I did as a kid, and she will never know. I learned my lesson on her 80th birthday.
Because I'll bet you there's plenty of occasions, too, where, you know, you'll tell your mom or your dad something you thought they didn't know, and it turns out they did.
I know. I hate that.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
And you thought you were just burning up with this secret for your whole life, and you could have just...
Let it go years ago, because they always know. My grandmother was like that. My grandmother was amazing. She lived with us till I was about 12, and she came here from the old country, from Croatia, and she knew everything. It was like grandma had her own spy system, you know. You'd get home from school, and you'd walk in the door, and she'd go, so why did you get punished at school today? It's like, how did you know? I know. That was her answer. I know. You know.
And that's all
you needed
to know.
She never gave it away how she knew. I know.
Paying off the right kid.
Sorry. Yeah. So Dan Ketting and Kathy Brinkman are going to be tomorrow night at La Gourmandise in downtown Urbana. I think I saw it billed somewhere as a song, Stories of the Solstice or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Solstice, Summer Stories.
And these that we just heard were kind of summer stories, or these were just stories that may or may not show up tomorrow?
Well, mine was like summer vacation story for a kid. Yeah, I tell some stories from those years of when summer vacation was, you know, the greatest thing in the world for a kid. So I tell a few stories like that.
And I know, Dan, you sometimes actually bring your guitar along?
I'll bring my guitar up and I sing a song or two.
Mm-hmm. And you can get a flavor. Well, I hope this has given you a little bit of a flavor, just a little bit of what you might hear. But you said these are once a month?
Right, and there'll be different tellers each month. Mm-hmm. Next month in July will be Barb Bolzer and Linda Dust.
So maybe we'll have to try getting them in here and tantalize us with something or another.
And there's an open mic at La Gourmandise that some of the students are running.
At a different time?
Yeah, that's on the second Friday from 9 to 11 at La Gourmandise, so people can get up and try their hand at storytelling.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be among them. I just ask questions.
Well, I bet you could put an entire CD together of the stories about WILL.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would want to hear those. And I don't know how many of them we could actually put on and still keep our jobs. Dan and Kathy, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
And that's tomorrow night from 6 to 8, La Gourmandise in downtown Urbana. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. We'll be back with another show for you tomorrow from 12 to 1. And I should tell you that we have had thousands of WILL listeners contribute to support next year's programs, and we are in the midst of our final drive to make sure that we have the money we need. You can help pay for the programs you enjoy as well, including Live and Local. If you received your renewal in the mail, we ask you to send in your check today. If you'd rather make a gift online, you can do that quite easily. Just go to willpledge.org and make your contribution. That's willpledge.org. We're making some great progress and lots more to raise, so we hope you will participate. Forecast for this afternoon, showers and thunderstorms pretty likely with a high of 88. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely to continue with a low of 72. Tomorrow, hot and humid, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high of 92. And the outlook for Wednesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 87. It's currently 84 degrees, coming up on 101. The Writer's Almanac is next with Garrison Keillor. Classical music comes back at 106. Support for today's programs comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL-FM and HD1 and HD2, Urbana, with translators W293 AF Danville, W266 AF Urbana, and W293 AF Danville.